back on FST. Final segment of the show. I know I'm bringing Scott Engel in soon. See if he's lined up and ready to go. And we're going to talk Seahawks because, oh, good, he's here. So before you bring him in, I got to read this. Would you bake a cake without a recipe?
Yes.
Or go to trial without a lawyer?
Yes.
Then why would you go into your fantasy football draft without the Roto Experts exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package? We have a fantasy Hall of Famer, Scott Engel, he's going to be on next, and the number one overall football accuracy expert on staff. That's Jake Seeley. They're writing articles, compiling rankings, projecting 2018 statistics, and answering your pre-draft questions. Our company has been nominated for over 60 fantasy industry awards in the last 3 years, and we're here to help you win. So go to rotoexperts.com, use code WINNER to get 10% off, and give us the honor of leading you to fantasy glory with the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. Good stuff, and the leader of rotoexperts.com is on the phone right now. You can find him on Twitter at Scott E. Roto X. That's EX at the end. He's a managing director of rotoexperts.com, and you've listened to him Monday through Friday on Roto Experts in the Morning. Scotty, great to hear from you, buddy.
Oh, good to hear from you, and you know, fine work by the producer. You know, knowing what kind of music to play to bring me in, too.
No bias.
Scott's very own. No bias whatsoever. Sean Engel on the ones and twos. But good to hear from you, Scotty. We were talking NFC West today, and we thought who better to bring on than you. We had Brandon Williams on. He was talking about the Niners, but we got into the Seahawks, and Kevin absolutely wanted to have you on, as did I, to talk a little bit about this season, because it's obviously a lot of transition that's happened in this offseason. And the first question I want to ask you before we get into the fantasy implications is, what are your current expectations for the Earl Thomas scenario?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, Fred. You know, I will be writing fantasy on Seahawks.com for Roto Experts again starting in August. So looking forward to that while doing the exclusive Edge package. Enter the King at checkout for a special discount on the package. And, you know, there's a lot of wide-ranging opinions on you know, what's going to happen. But I think ultimately what's going to happen is the team's not going to give in to any trade demands, because I don't think they're going to get what they seek in return. And that ultimately, you know, he's not going to leave the money on the table. And, you know, Earl Thomas will probably show up, you know, especially important not only for the Seahawks, for those of you who play in IDP leagues as well. You know, the guy is still the best free safety in the game.
Scott, the big question always with Seattle, the offensive line. A number of years, we've had conversations about it. You say, yeah, it may not be as bad as everyone says. And I totally understand why you say it. This year, similar optimism, or is this guaranteed to be one of the three worst in the league?
I don't know if it's guaranteed to be one of the three worst in the league. Now you get Dwayne Brown for the full season. And, you know, they added DJ Fluker, who's a really good run blocker. Not as good as the run as he is against the pass, but when you have somebody as elusive as Russell Wilson, maybe you can get away with that a little. I don't think it's quite as bad as last year. I don't think it's going to be in the top half either. I think there's a potential fit for it to be certainly more of an adequate unit. And I think Justin Britt, you know, every year gets better at center. So, I think it's a better line this year. You know, they brought in a new offensive line coach, Mike Solari, and they're also changing, you know, the way they block as well. So, you know, there's a lot to be seen there with the offensive line.
I was heaping praise upon Russell Wilson earlier in the show. He's obviously a top three ranked QB. I don't see any way to argue against that.
There is,
but do me that favor. Explain to me how he could maybe falter a little bit this season.
I think fantasy-wise, you know, not in terms of the NFL, you could still say he's a top four quarterback, but I think the Seahawks want to go back to what they did, you know, during their best years, which was having a better balance of run and pass, and having Russell Wilson pick his spots rather than having to carry the entire offense on his back. Now, you know, some average fans will say, you know, a quarterback really doesn't prove himself until he carries the team on his back. You don't want the quarterback carrying the team on your back. You want him to have offensive balance. They drafted Rashad Penny to be a three-down running back and to have more offensive balance. And if they can establish more of a running game, Russell Wilson will not have to carry as much of an offensive load this year as he did last year.
I fear that I may have just got my answer from what you just said there in terms of them trying not to throw the football as much. But I said when we were initially talking about Seattle, I was just looking through the skill position players, especially the pass catchers. I said, is there a chance that Doug Baldwin could crack the top five in targets? He was at 16th last year. He is comfortably better than everybody else there, Scott. How high on the end of targets could we see Doug Baldwin get?
Doug Baldwin's still going to get, you know, he's been with Russell Wilson since his first game in the NFL.
Can we get top five?
The opener against the Arizona Cardinals in his first game, you know, it was a missed pass to Doug Baldwin in the end zone for a loss. And they've always really connected. But I think when you look at, when you want to say something like, you know, the other guys are not established and that can make Doug Baldwin top five, that's not how Russell Wilson operates. Russell Wilson always spreads the ball around. He's not going to zone in on one receiver all of the time. And while the other names aren't well known to everybody, you know, Russell Wilson's familiar with a lot of them. Tyler Lockett, Amari Darboe is a guy that, you know, he started to work with last year. We're going to see Ed Dixon get mixed in a little bit at tight end. They're going to throw the ball out of the backfield. Doug Baldwin's not going to get enough. They're also going to more establish the run, like I said. So to see Doug Baldwin as a top five receiver, I think, is a super stretch.
Yeah, I mean, they've not typically been a extremely high volume passing team. And to Scott's point, I think they are possibly even going to regress a little bit as far as the number of pass attempts to get Penny involved. Do you think it would be – look, I said this a couple of times in this show, I'll say for the third time, I never espouse having to have a handcuff, but there's a couple of teams in this NFC West landscape where it might make sense, like Matt Breida to Jerick McKinnon on the Niners, and do you think Chris Carson is the guy that you'd want to tag to Rashad Penny just in case?
Yeah, I think so. You know, he's healthy. He's back. The team likes him a lot. You know, he showed some signs last year of being able to run well, and which by him wasn't a good offensive line. You know, and he was very tenacious when he got to the second level. And because of his tenacity, he was able to get to the second level on his own, which was kind of impressive for a game or two. So he'll definitely be the handcuff. It's very interesting, you know, C.J. Procise gets injured so much that he's become a complete fantasy afterthought, but if he could somehow stay healthy, you know, he's going to catch passes and have a Theo Riddick roll out of that backfield. And when he's healthy, he's explosive as Chris Thompson is.
You know, it's a interesting point there, Scott, and I say this to people a lot. As much as you can look at rankings and stuff going into drafts in the next 6 weeks or so, you really should always take a quick look at the previous year's ADP rankings, because there's always a few guys that get forgotten or get lost in the wash. And C.J. Procise was a guy that you and I talked about last preseason that we liked a lot. Opportunity to catch 50, 60 passes. And now, because he got hurt again, people have forgotten about him, but he could be that guy. You could get him in the 16th round probably, or just have him ready to go on the waiver wire, but he's somebody to not completely forget about.
Yeah, and, you know, at receiver, like I mentioned Amari Darboe, you know, this is a guy that could really step up and, you know, be a very, very deep fantasy sleeper. They like him. You know, he can go up and get 50-50 balls, which Wilson likes to throw a lot. You know, he's got some separation gear, got some good leaping ability. So Amari Darboe is a name to really stash away, especially if you're playing in like a 20 or 22-round draft.
Well, Scotty, let me ask you though, right? Because if Doug Baldwin isn't going to creep into the top five in targets because Russ is going to spread it around, then Tyler Lockett's got to have a lot of value there. Because Paul Richardson's out last year, 80 targets. Tyler Lockett's numbers have to go up, right?
If Tyler Lockett can stay healthy, which is always, you know, been an issue for him. When I say Wilson's going to spread it around, it could be a different guy every down. It could be a different guy every week. I don't know if there's one particular player to locate that you might be able to depend on fantasy-wise. Like I said, Darboh has sleeper potential. Lockett, you know, we've seen flashes of him in the past, but I don't think you can consistently depend on him on a week-to-week basis. You know, one week it could be Baldwin 5 for 120 and 2 touchdowns. The next week it could be Baldwin maybe, you know, 3 catches for 40 yards and Amari Darboh catches a touchdown pass and CJ Procise does something. I think it's going to be very unpredictable week to week what happens outside of Baldwin. I think it's almost like in fantasy baseball when you talk about a closer situation. You know, who's going to step up? Well, it's you're going to have to see that on the go. The best quarterbacks in the NFL, I believe, are guys who spread it around, and Wilson is one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's going to hit the open man. On one play, it could be Tyler Lockett. The next play could be Darboh. The next, it could be Nick Vannett. You know, you just don't know.
Well, Scott, one guy you did not mention was Brandon Marshall. And is he fantasy viable? Do you think he's washed? Do you think he won't fit? What are your thoughts on Marshall?
On purpose, I didn't mention Brandon Marshall. I think, you know, he's at the end of his career. I think we saw the best of him end a few years ago with the Jets. Personally, I was thinking that Dez Bryant would be a better pick up for them, but I guess they didn't want to spend the money, and Dez is still sitting out there. To me, you know, Brandon Marshall's more of like a player coach than a factor.
I agree completely with you on that. On the defensive side of the ball, so the more familiar names have left and maybe leaving. It would be a bummer with the Earl Thomas thing because, as you said, he's still one of the best players in football. From an IDP standpoint, he was a top 12 safety, just to give folks a sense on a point-per-game basis. But at the same time, they have been backfilling some of the veterans with very high draft picks. Frank Clark, Jaron Reed, Nazir Jones, Rasheem Green, all of these guys. And Bobby Wagner, obviously, and K.J. Wright are still there in the middle. I just get the sense that because people aren't as familiar with some of the players on this team, maybe they're dismissing how good this defense can be. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think it still can be a very good defense. Not elite like it used to be. You know, right. It's ranked 13th in my fantasy ranks on rotoexperts.com in the exclusive edge package. Enter the king and check out for a special discount. Anytime you still have Bobby Wagner and Earl Thomas there, you know, that's a defense that you can't disrespect. Frank Clark has really come on the defensive line, and, you know, Jaron Reed can really make a name for himself this year. And, you know, then you can't forget K.J. Wright either. So, you know, I think if health is there, they're still going to be quite a good defense. In the secondary, Byron Maxwell's adequate. You have Shaq Griffin had a really good rookie year. So this is not a defense you're going to be able to pick on, but it's not going to be elite either for fantasy purposes.
So then give me the outlook, Scott. You know, Seattle is a team last year. They were close to the playoffs, but they didn't make it back. This is a division that I think is much improved. Playoffs, 500, could it be a bad year for them? What do you think?
Well, USA Today had them at 4-12.
I'm guessing you don't.
A little bit of a reach. Yeah, there's a little bit of a reach, I think. When you have guys like Russell Wilson, Earl Thomas, and Bobby Wagner, and K.J. Wright on the roster, and Doug Baldwin, that's not a four-win squad. That said, and look, you know this, Mike, I don't base schedule analysis on the previous year. I always look ahead. They do have a very tough schedule this year when you look at it. So I think I think, you know, I'm looking at about a 500 season here. They will be in playoff contention. What you can't predict is, and when everybody does this, and, you know, Kevin knows this as an Eagles fan too, you know, I was predicting that the Eagles weren't going to go to the Super Bowl because of certain things on paper, et cetera. You can't predict execution, you know, and, you know, it comes down to execution. They still have guys like Wilson, Wagner, and Thomas, who, you know, these guys have played in Super Bowls and big championship games. You know, in certain moments, they have the ability to step up. If you look at them on paper, I think they're about a 500 ball club. But when they have certain players like they do, there is the upside for them to be a wild card team. So I think they're between a 500 ball club and a wild card team.
Good stuff. Again, you can follow him on Twitter at Scott E. Roto X. That's EX at the end. And go to rotoexperts.com and enter code the king for a special discount on the exclusive Edge package. He's got tons of stuff in there. He's got his rankings in there. Scott, thanks for the time this morning. Appreciate it. And I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right. Thanks for having me this morning. And you guys continue to do a nice job on the show there.
Thanks, Scott. Thanks,
appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. And
okay,
we
Kevin.
Will – yeah, and so the reality for this team, as Scott said, is it's a team in transition, but we could see them could potentially challenge for a playoff spot. To his point about the schedule, after the bye week, which is in week seven, the beginning of the schedule isn't brutal, but after the bye week in week seven, it's at Detroit, then the Chargers, then at the Rams, then Green Bay, then at Carolina, then the Niners, the Vikings, at the Niners, Chiefs. That's a tough little seven-week stretch in there, and that could be really brutal for a team that is in some level of transition, especially if Thomas moves on here in the next month.
Well, look, they ended up with what's ranked the 30th tough schedule, or the what would be the third hardest schedule by Warren Sharp. Again, that was back in May. I do think something that Scott said there is very important, is trying to predict execution. He says you can't. I think you have to see if you can find ways to predict execution. Because if you look at a roster and you're saying, I like what's there, but I don't know how they close out games, that can be the difference from a 5-win team and an 8-win team. Like, I might look, one team that I feel that way, I feel like the Jets might be able to play close football games, but I don't feel great about them winning a lot of those games because Darnold is going to be so young and things like that.
True. So we've got about a minute left. I wanted you to rank these teams. Where? How do you think it ends up, Kevin?
Right now, as of today, I put them Rams, Seahawks, Niners, Cardinals with a sizable gap between the Rams and the rest of the division.
I disagree with you. I'm going to have the Niners over the Seahawks there, but I do think that's close. So we're going to come back tomorrow.